Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." What is the hope that is in us? It's Jesus Christ tonight, amen? And my hope is built on Him, plus nothing, minus nothing tonight. It's all of Christ. Matter of fact, Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God," amen? And so he is saying to us, Peter is saying to us, that we need to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. So why, can I just put it this way, why are you a Christian tonight? Why are you a believer tonight? Why are you saved tonight? And there's a lot of people today that's not. Can I just say that? There's a lot of people today that's not. There's a lot of people that sits on a church pew or on a church seat every service that might not know the Lord as their Savior. I really believe that. And the Bible says, "Many shall say unto me on that day." Many shall say, I know the Lord hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but that's a fearful verse right there. That's a scary verse. That word, "many shall say unto me in that day." There's going to be a lot of people that says, "Lord, Lord, we done this and this," and Jesus is going to look at them and say, "I never knew you." It's what the Bible said, and I'm going to say something to you tonight. It's not just a head knowledge of Christ, it's a heart knowledge of Christ. And I was talking to an individual the other day, and I just told him, I said, if an individual can live in sin and nothing happens to them, nothing bothers them, there's no conviction, there's a problem based on the Bible. There's a problem, amen? And it's not just, I got to get to my notes. Matter of fact, I was talking to Miss Tina about that today, having to stay with my notes. But anyway, it's not just sins of commission, but it's sins of omission also. There's a difference in that. You say, "Preacher, what's that?" Well, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. If you're not praying the way that you ought to, you're sinning. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's he talking? He's talking about studying the Bible. If we're omitting that out of our life, then we're sinning. Well, it's already got real quiet on Wednesday night, and I'm not even 45 seconds into the message. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to be able to tell people why we believe what we believe and what Christ has done for us. So how do we talk to an unbeliever? Let's jump in this. Our goal is a conversation, not a confrontation. Our goal should never be confrontation. You say, "Well, boy, I had a good argument." No, you didn't. No, you didn't, man. It's not confrontation. It is a conversation. Many believers want to witness but feel unsure about how to begin. We may know the gospel, yet struggle with how to move an ordinary conversation towards spiritual things without sounding forced or argumentative. The goal is not merely to win an argument. The goal is to lovingly bring a person face to face with the truth of the gospel. A good gospel conversation combines courage with kindness, truth with grace, and speaking with listening. Speaking with listening. We should never be ashamed of the gospel, but we also don't need to make the conversation awkward. Jesus often dealt with people personally, asked questions, listened, and then brought the conversation to the truth they most needed. Think about this. In John, when they took that woman, they said that she was called in in the very act of adultery, Jesus listened to him for just a minute. And then he stooped down and he wrote in the sand and said, "Ye without sin, cast the first stone," and looked up and everybody was gone. You know what he done? He listened and then brought the truth in. Many people says, what did he write in the sand? I don't know. We can speculate a lot. We don't know what he wrote in the sand. Sometimes I wonder if he didn't write the sins of everybody else standing around. It was something confrontational because, man, they left. They left. So when we think about it, the whole goal of this is not confrontation. It's a conversation. I absolutely refuse to argue the Bible. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And if you want to have a conversation about the Bible with an open mind to believe the Bible by faith, then I'll be glad to have a conversation with you. So we've got to remember that. So many today, they take it straight to that point of confrontation. Believe this or go to hell. Well, what you're saying may be right, but are we saying it the right way? We can do the right thing the wrong way. Somebody say amen. Number one, pray before you speak. So how do I talk to an unbeliever? Number one, pray before you speak. Evangelism begins before the conversation begins. Pray for opportunities, discernment, boldness, wisdom, and for the heart of the person you may speak with. Prayer reminds us that we cannot save anyone. We are witnesses. God must work in the heart. Remember what the Bible said in Colossians 4:3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. So I want to say this to you tonight. Before you talk to that individual, you need to pray. You need to get along with God. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, and I know I've made reference to this several times in recent days, but he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. What is he saying? He's saying, man, before you go speak to that person, they should be some weeping before that. They should be some time that we get along with the Lord and we pray, God, would you help me? God, would you show? And I know sometimes conversations come up sporadic. That's the reason every day before we leave and start our day, we should spend some time in prayer. Can I get a witness right there? God, whoever I come in contact with today, God, help me to be the witness that I need to be. God, help me to say the things that I need to say. God, help me to share your word with them and not my opinion with them. So praying before we speak to them. Prayer will do a lot of things. Prayer will do a lot of things. You know what? Prayer will do what you can't do. And you can't soften the heart of an unbeliever. You can't change the mind of an atheist tonight. But I tell you who can, the one that we pray to. So number one, tonight we pray before you speak. Number two, I got to move through these quickly or I'll not get done. Matter of fact, Miss Leslie read through it today and she said, you're not going to talk about all that tonight. And I said, oh yes, I am. So we're going to move quickly. I got a point to prove to her tonight, all right? Number two, take the initiative, but be natural. Do not always wait for an unbeliever to bring up God. Be willing to begin the conversation, introduce yourself, show genuine friendliness, and take an interest in the person. I've said this many times, they'll never care how much you know until they know how much you care. Can I just say this? I know, be natural, be authentic, be real, man. People know if you're real. People know if you're real. People know if you're a counterfeit. They see you coming a mile away. So be natural. A spiritual conversation does not have to begin with a spiritual sentence. Ordinary conversations can become the bridge to an eternal conversation. Ordinary conversations. Matter of fact, I'm almost positive it was Brother Tom talking about this after one of the visitations. I think it was Brother Tom. If it wasn't, I'm sorry. I've got him mixed up with somebody. But they went up to a door and began to talk to the individual. And the individual had an old hot rod sitting there. And if anybody knows Brother Tom, you know Brother Tom likes an old hot rod. Amen. And you know what he done? He began talking about that. Be natural. Find something that they're interested in. One thing that I have used it, and I guess that a lot of people's had them for years, but whenever you have one, you notice it more. There's a lot of people have golden retrievers. We'll be places, and I'll see somebody with a golden retriever, especially hiking, and I'll walk up to them, and I don't walk up to them and go, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. Are you going to heaven or hell?" You know what they're going to do if they're an unbeliever? They're going to turn you off immediately. I walk up to them and say, "Is your dog friendly?" And, of course, if you've ever been around a golden retriever, yeah. And I'll go, "I've got one too," and they think everybody is their best friend, don't they? And I'll kneel down and I'll love on their dog and pet on their dog just like it's mine. Begin naturally. A lot of times the reason an unbeliever turns us off immediately is because we come at them so aggressively. Now, I am all for being aggressive and sharing the gospel at the right time. But if they turn you off immediately, the door is shut. The door's shut. Leslie and I traveled with Rock of Ages for 5 years. And during that time, as we was traveling with Rock of Ages, we worked in the juvenile correctional facilities. I probably played more rounds of 21 on a basketball court in a pair of dress slacks, a tie, and dress shoes than I ever have in gym shorts and tennis shoes. And you say, why? Because I'd go out on the ball court. Whenever we was in those juvenile facilities, I'd go out on the ball court, and of course, they'd start laughing. "What are you doing out here?" And I said, "I'm fixing to show y'all how to play basketball." And them boys played rough in there, and I had to be careful. I wanted to throw an elbow or two. I wanted to throw more than an elbow every once in a while. But anyway, I had to be careful. What did I do? I began with a natural conversation and then said, "Hey, you know what? 7 o'clock tonight, we having church over in the chapel. I want you to come hear me preach. I come out here and play basketball with you. I'm going to go eat supper with you, and I want you to come hear me preach." So begin natural. Look for a natural opening involving family, work, background, difficulties, hope, current events, church experiences, or questions about life. Find a way to get to them. Find a way to have a natural conversation. I thought about this, the tragedy that Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole went through with Brady when he was 13 years old, losing his life. And how many times they have been able to use that as a natural bridge to begin a conversation with somebody that's been through things of like manner. And then be able to say, "The reason we've been able to make it is because of God. The reason we've been able to make it is because of Jesus in our life." So be natural and use that. Number three, if I don't move, I won't get done tonight. Number three, find a common ground. People are more willing to talk when they know we are generally interested in them rather than merely trying to deliver a speech. Common ground is not compromise. Common ground is not compromise, all right? Think about this. Paul could understand his audience without surrendering truth. Learn something about the person and begin where they are. Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So really 2 and 3 ties hand in hand together. Find something that you're both interested in and talk to them about it. I spent close to 20 years in emergency services and law enforcement chaplaincy. And a lot of that time was with Surrey County Sheriff's Office. And there's so many times, I'll never forget one night, I got called out in the middle of the night and we had to go do a death notification and ended up, we had to go to 3 different places. The officer I was with, the deputy I was with that night, was really the first time I'd been around him much. And we got in the car and we started up the road, and about 5 minutes went by and nobody had said nothing. And I thought, man, it's going to be a long night tonight if somebody don't say. So I looked over at him and I said, "Hey, what you going to say when we get over here?" He looked back at me and he said, "I ain't going to say nothing." And I said, "What do you mean you ain't going to say nothing?" He said, "I'm not going to say nothing." He said, "My sergeant said to come meet you and to be there to back you up, but you're taking care of everything." And I said, well, if I'm taking care of everything, then we need to get a few facts straight before we get there so we're both on the same page. And we ended up that whole night. We watched the sun come up together the next morning. That whole night, we was together. Now, at the end of the night, right before, when we got back to the office and I started to get out of the car, I looked at him and I said, hey, can I ask you a question? He said, what? I said, go to church anywhere? He looked over at me and smiled, and he said, yeah, I do. He said, I've been waiting on it. I said, you thought he was coming as soon as I got in the car, didn't you? He just kindly put his head down. I said, it's all right. Most people do. Listen to me. You've got to find the common ground with it. You can't just go into an unbeliever and push Jesus down their throat. It's not going to work. Now, I understand God can do a miracle. I'm not belittling God. But the biggest part of the time for them to ever listen to you, you need to find that common ground. Number four, watch this. Ask good questions. Questions can make a gospel conversation less threatening. They allow the other person to talk, reveal what the person actually believes, lower defenses, and naturally create opportunities for deeper questions. Do not interrogate them. One or two sincere questions followed by careful listening are often better than a memorized list fired one after another. Useful everyday questions include, here's just some practical things. What was church like for you growing up? How was church for you growing up? What is the most important thing to you right now? What do you think gives life meaning? If you could ask God one question, what would you ask him? If you could ask, that's a good one to throw out to anybody. If you could ask God one question, what would you ask him? So think about this. Ask good questions to him. And I want to say this. When you ask them, listen to them. Repeat the answer back to them. So if I'm understanding you right, you went to church just a few times growing up, but then never really went back. Yes. Continue the conversation with them, all right? Now, think about this. Number five, move from the natural to the spiritual. That is, that ultimately, that's where we want to go. Ultimately, I want to talk to them about Jesus. Ultimately, that's where I'm headed with them. But can I say something to you tonight? I have talked to people on numerous occasions before I ever moved from the natural to the spiritual. You say, well, preacher, you was wrong in that. Well, that's between me and the Lord. The Lord never gave me the nudge to go to the next step with it. And I'm just going to say this. Some people, when you do, they're going to cut you off. You better make sure it's the Holy Spirit nudging you to do that. So move from the natural to the spiritual. At some point, the conversation must move beyond general friendliness. We are not merely trying to be liked. We want to point people to Jesus. Amen. That's the ultimate goal of this, is for them to see Christ. A simple transition can be, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Buckle up when you ask that. Because you're probably fixing to hear some things, even in Surrey County, that'll blow your mind. Another is, did you grow up going to church? Can I ask you a spiritual question? The transition does not have to be clever. It needs to be sincere. Can I ask you a spiritual question? I always... anytime somebody brings up, now if it's somebody sitting in this room, that's one thing. But especially when I was in chaplaincy, when somebody started talking to me about things, I always would ask this question before I answered. Is it okay if I answer you from a biblical viewpoint? And they would always, I've never had nobody come back and say no. This is what they'd always say. They'd look over their shoulder at my door and say, it says chaplain, don't it? Or they'd look on my vest or what on my shirt and say, well, you're the chaplain, aren't you? And then I'd always say, but I respect you. So is it okay for me to talk to you about this in a biblical sense? There's never been a time on a scene that I prayed with somebody without asking them, is it okay if I have prayer with your family right now? Is that okay? You say, why? Because you want to win their heart. You don't want to go in like a bull in a china shop, but ultimately we want to move from a natural conversation to a spiritual conversation. Listen before you correct. Number six, we got to move through this. Listen before you correct. Let the person explain what they believe and why they believe it. Don't interrupt them. You ever been trying to talk to somebody and they keep interrupting you? You know what I say a lot of times? Well, I tell you what, you just go ahead and talk. When you get done, then I'll talk a little while. How about that? Let them talk, okay? Listen before you correct. You do not have to correct every inaccurate statement immediately. Chasing every side issue can turn a gospel conversation into a debate about secondary matters and prevent you from ever reaching Christ. James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Listening does not mean agreement. It means you care enough to understand the person before you answer them. Just because I'm listening to somebody else tell me what they believe don't mean that I agree with that. But listen to them. I have an open ear to them. Number seven, ask questions that reveal their spiritual condition. This is good right here. I wish I could have come up with all this myself. Ask questions that reveal their spiritual. These questions can help you move a conversation towards the gospel. Let's read through them real quick. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Do you believe in heaven or hell? If you died today, where do you believe you would go? Why do you believe that God would let you into heaven? If what you believe is not true, would you want to know? That's a good one. If what you believe is not so, if it's not true, would you want to know? Would you want me, and here's something you can add to that, would you like for me to take the Bible and show you the truth about that? That's ultimately, man, that's where we've got to steer the conversation. Their answers help you understand whether they are trusting Christ, trusting religion, trusting their own goodness, or rejecting spiritual truth altogether. Number eight, do not get sidetracked into an argument. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You may hear statements about evolution, suffering, hypocrisy, or hypocrites, other religion, politics, church scandals, or difficult Bible passages. Some questions deserve an answer, but not every objection must be settled before the gospel can be presented. Can I just say something to you? If we talk long enough, we're going to find something we don't agree on. Every one of us sitting in this room, if we talk long enough, we're going to find something we don't agree on. But there's some things that we cannot not agree on. And that's the blood. Amen. That's the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We just can't disagree on those things, man. That is our hope tonight. It's in Him. So don't get sidetracked. You can say that is a good question, and I would be glad to talk about it, but could I first show you what the Bible says about how a person can know for sure that they're saved? 2 Timothy 2 talks about that. It teaches that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, patient, and able to teach. Number nine, share your testimony, but get to Christ. And I'm not going to read all of that, number nine, verbatim, but let me just say this. The conversation is not ultimately about you. It's about Jesus. Well, let me tell you about this time that they put me to sleep, and man, while I was asleep, I saw Peter, James, and John, and I got to the gates, and they wouldn't let me in, but I woke up, and boy, I hope I get there one day. You just confused them worse than they was. Ultimately, the conversation, there's nothing wrong with going, hey, I remember the night I was lost. I remember the night that God exposed my sin to me and showed me I was lost. I remember where I was at. I remember the sin-sick state that I was in. But I also remember what Jesus done for me. And everything before that is underneath the blood, so there's no need for us to even talk about that tonight. But let me tell you about the peace that I have in my soul. Let me tell you about the joy that I have now. Let me tell you about the comfort that God gives me now. Man, you got to get them to Jesus. So in sharing your testimony, There's nothing wrong with sharing your story. There's nothing wrong with, just like I said, and I know I'm coming back to it again, but the Lord has just opened a lot of doors for Brother Kevin and Miss Nicole to do that over the last 10 years. But ultimately, the story has to go to Jesus. It has to go to Him. So in sharing your testimony, get them to Christ. Share the gospel simply and clearly. Share it simply and clearly. Eventually, we must explain the message itself. Do not assume a person understands words such as saved, grace, repentance, born again. We think people knows the Bible today, but they don't. They don't. I'm telling you. If you go... I can take you some places in Surrey County tonight, and I promise you they don't have a clue what the gospel is. I guarantee you I can take you places that they don't have a clue what John 3:16 is. I'll never forget a boy named Willie that I led to the Lord one time. And as I was talking to him, I said, it revealed to me the ignorance of so many. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm talking about in the Bible. He was a very smart young man, but biblically he was ignorant. And I said, well, you know what John 3:16 says? And here's what he said. What's that? That's what he said. What's that? And I said, what do you mean? He said, what's John 3:16, Jonathan? I said, the Bible verse, John 3:16. He said, well, what's that say? So I'm telling you today, don't take for granted that they understand what grace is, that they understand what repentance is. Take them through the Bible. Here's your list. Our sin, Romans 3:23. The sin's penalty, Romans 6:23. God's love in Christ's death, Romans 5:8. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Salvation is by grace and not of works, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. The need to personally believe on Christ, Romans 10:9 through 13, and Acts 16:31. Keep bringing the conversation back to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Back to the person and work of Christ. Number 11, answer questions honestly. I want you to listen to this. If they ask something you don't know, don't bluff. It is perfectly acceptable to simply say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You say, well, it's going to make me look ignorant. Well, you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you get in your Bible. It's going to make you go home and dig in this book right here. When you say, I don't know, say, but I tell you what, if you'll give me another chance to have a conversation with you, I'll answer it. I'll answer it. Give me a day or two. Let me study on it. Let me talk to my pastor. Let me talk to my husband, my wife, my parent, whatever. Give me a day or two to study on this, and then can we get back together and talk? Number two, that's going to give you another chance to sit down with them, amen? But if you don't know, man, just be honest and say, I don't know. Don't confuse them even more. Number 12, respect their response and trust God with the results. Some will believe. Some will want more time. Some will reject what you say. Our responsibility is faithfulness, not forcing a decision. There's a lot of people probably going to wind up in hell one day because somebody forced a decision out of them. I'll never forget in January of 2016 when me and John Dorsey found Craig Golden and talked to him that day. He was under conviction. Tears was running down his face. And I looked at Craig and I said, why don't you get saved? He said, not right now. I said, Craig, you might die and go to hell. He said, I know that. And I said, well, why don't you get saved right now? He said, I'm not ready. And John looked at him. Me and John both had tears running down our face. We begged the man to get saved in the Hardy's parking lot in Mount Airy, in the Hardy's parking lot right there on West Pine. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come to church tonight. And I said, Craig, won't you get saved right here, right now? He said, nope, I'll come to church tonight, though. And he walked off. I'll never forget when he walked off, Red looked over at me and he said, Barker, you think he'll come tonight? And I said, if Craig Golden's alive, he'll be at church tonight. And he said, you really think so? I said, I know so. I said, he's an old timer and his word is his bond. If he told you he's coming to church tonight, he'll be at church tonight. And you know what? He did come to church that night and he got saved that night. I'll never forget the night he got saved. You know, when I drove off personally, I thought, man, where did I fail at? But I cannot make a person get saved. All we can do is share the gospel with them and pray for God to speak to their heart. God has to do the work in them. We can't. Respect their response and trust God with the results. Do not pressure someone merely to repeat words. Make sure they understand the gospel and are responding to Christ. 1 Corinthians, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. A conversation that does not end in conversion is not necessarily a failed conversation. You may have planted a seed that God will use later. Now, I want to back up to something. Do not pressure someone merely to repeat words. I'm 48 years old. And I've been preaching 30 years. I've been pastoring 20 years. I've never asked somebody to repeat a prayer after me in salvation. I've never done it. You say, well, why not? It needs to be from their heart to Christ. Now, when they say, what am I supposed to pray? Here's exactly, and some of you have heard me say this very thing. You tell God what you want God to know. You tell the Lord what you want Him to know. If you want God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and save you, then you tell Him that. Now, I'm going to pray, and I'll pray out loud. You can pray out loud if you want to. You can pray to yourself if you want to. You just do business with the Lord, and I'll pray. And when I get done praying, I'll look at Him, and I'll say, did you pray? Some of y'all sitting here know this because I've led you to the Lord. Did you pray? I did. What'd you say? I asked the Lord to save me and forgive me of my sins. Well, based on the Bible, then I take them back to the Bible, back to Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then based off of the Bible, if you died right now, where would you spend eternity? I'd go to heaven. Why would you go to heaven? Because the Bible said I would. Did you catch the end statement? Not because I repeated a prayer after a preacher. Not because I repeated a prayer, because the Bible said that I would. You got to get them to the book, man. You got to get them to the book. Live in a way, number 13, live in a way that supports what you say. Man, live in a way that supports what you say. Our life does not replace verbal witness, but our conduct can either reinforce or undermine it. I had a guy tell me not long after I'd been here, I knocked on his door and invited him to church. And he pointed right down. He said, you see that house right there? I said, yeah. He said, have you been there? I said, no. I said, but I'm going to after I leave here. It's the next one in line. I'm going to it. I was going door to door, visiting the roads in this area. He said, they go to church every Sunday. I said, well, I'm still going to knock on their door and invite them to church. He said, He began talking about the life that they lived. And he said, if they're going to heaven, I ain't got nothing to worry about. And I said, I'll talk to them about that when I get down there. I said, what about you? He said, I know I ain't saved. He said, I ain't never asked the Lord to save me. I've hardly ever been to church, and I ain't got no plans on going to church. He pointed at that house again, and he said, if they're saved, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm telling you something. We better live in a way that supports what we say. We better live in a, we better post in a way. You have to say that in today's society because so we better post in a way that lives up to what we say. That's so important. I'm not going to labor that, but that's so important. Don't even talk to them about God. If you're not going to live in a way that supports it, because all you do is harm the gospel instead of help the gospel. Matthew 15:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Some people, I'm trying to think exactly the way the phrase goes. the statement goes, something like 90% of people will never read their Bible, but they'll read the life that you live in front of them. Live in a way that pleases Christ. We're all going to get mad every once in a while. We're all going to say things we shouldn't every once in a while. We're all going to fly off the... Y'all nod your heads up and down. A bunch of hypocrites. We're all going to say things we shouldn't every once in a while. Amen. But the way that we correct that, I'm not justifying that. The way that we correct that is we go back and say, hey, I'm sorry. I acted in a way I shouldn't. I said things that I shouldn't say, and I ask you to forgive me. Live in a way that supports what you say. Here's you a couple things in closing tonight. Simple conversation flow. Start friendly. Ask about them. Listen carefully. Transition. Diagnose. Share. Invite a response. Leave the door open. Whether they believe immediately or not, remain gracious and willing to talk again. Don't become frustrated with them. You may become frustrated, but they don't need to see that. They don't need to know that. People's going to throw things at you when you really start trying to share the gospel and be a disciple like Christ wants us to be and tell people about Christ and talk to unbelievers and share the... They're going to throw you for a loop. There's some people that's going to do everything that they can do to push your button and make you lose it. They want confrontation. That's what they... It goes all the way back to number one. You better pray. Amen. Now, here's some common concerns. It's 7:56. I'm right now done. Here's just some Q&A common concerns. What if I'm afraid I will say the wrong thing? Know the gospel, pray, and speak with humility. You do not have to be an expert. Your job is to faithfully point them to Christ. Just point them to Jesus. What if they ask a question I cannot answer? Well, tell them you can't and go home and study it and get back with them. Amen. What if they become argumentative? Don't match their spirit. Don't match them. Don't become argumentative with them. What if they say they're already a Christian? Ask gracious questions. Tell me how you come to know Christ. Should I build a relationship first and share the gospel or share the gospel immediately? There's no single formula. And this goes back, I'm just going to say this. This goes back, and I'm trying to run through some things that's been asked of me. This goes back to knowing the Holy Spirit and being in tune with the Lord. There's some times that immediately I go straight in sharing the gospel. Not many, but there is times. Why? Because the Lord nudges me to do that, and I see the open door, and I walk through it. What if they reject me? Their response is ultimately to the message, not your worth. Remain kind, pray for them, and leave the door open for another conversation. And can I just say this? They're going to reject you. Some people is going to reject you when it comes to talking about Christ. There has been times, multiple times, in 20 years of pastoring that I've talked to people in the community and they initially rejected me. When I first came here, I'll never forget one man. He said, "Where are you from?" I told him. And I didn't know this at the time. Now, there's Barkers in Surrey County also. And some of them has been a little troublesome down through the years. And I was asked. It was the first thing guys asked. And I said, "My people's from Wilkes County." They ain't much better, to be honest. But anyway, my people's from Wilkes County. But I grew up in Courtney. And then I say my wife grew up in Forbush. And I'll never forget one man looked at me. He said, "You know anybody who works at Reynolds?" And I said, "Yeah, about half the church that I grew up in." That's where everybody worked in that area years ago. "Well, I'm going to ask some questions about you." And the next day, I got a phone call from the guy that lived across the road from us when we lived in East Bend. And he said, "Hey, old such and such was asking about you today. What have you already got stirred up there?" And I said, "I don't have nothing stirred up." I said, "But I guess they want to know more about me." People is going to reject you, but listen to me. Ultimately, if you'll stay kind to them, it might be the people that you end up winning to Christ. So think about that. Five questions worth remembering. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Do you believe in heaven or hell? If you died today, where do you believe that you would go and why? If what you believe is not true, do you want me to tell you? Closing challenge. Talking to an unbeliever is not about having a perfect script. It is about caring enough to speak, listening enough to understand, knowing the gospel well enough to explain it, and trusting God enough to leave the results with Him. We should never be ashamed of the truth, but we should always carry that truth with grace. Ask questions, listen carefully, avoid needless arguments, open the scriptures. Open the scriptures. Can I say that one more time? Open the scriptures. Point them to Christ, then trust God to give the increase. And you know what He says? He says that our labor will not go unnoticed. God will give the increase. Amen. So there's just some, and I know that's different tonight than what we've been doing, but that was one of the things that was asked of me, "Preacher, how would I do that?" So here's what I'm going to do, because next week I'm on tag team right in with this, because I said this many times, study the Bible, study the Bible, study the Bible. So next week I'm going to do a session on how to study the Bible. This is how I study my Bible. This is the way that I read. This is the way that I study. These are the things. I'll show you some books. I'll give you some book recommendations. I'm not going to give you a ton, but I'll give you a few book recommendations that'll help you. Amen. Talking to an unbeliever. I want to say this to you tonight. Will you come start playing softly? I don't ever want to close the service without giving an invitation. I want to say this to you tonight. We should. We should. Don't allow the devil to bully you into not sharing the gospel. Into not sharing the gospel. Tell them you love them, man. Weep over them. They'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. And just tell them Jesus loves them. You know, many will say, "Well, how do I know He loves me?" And I always say, "Well, look at Calvary, number one, but look around." You say, "Well, I live a less fortunate life." Go some of the places that I've been. Let's get on an airplane and fly to Mexico, where I was at in November. Let me take you back into some of those villages where there's no running water and they literally sleep on the floor. We went in one place, Grandma slept in a hammock, and it was one room. There's a little microwave in there, a little TV in there. I mean, nothing. Look at how good God's been to us. He's blessed us. And share Jesus with them. At the end of the day, get them to Jesus. Not my opinion. Get them to the Scripture. Get them what the Bible says. And then leave it in God's hands.